John 10, 10 through 16. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today and we ask you as the good shepherd to feed your sheep today with your word. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be led by your spirit, moved by your spirit as a sail in the wind. Lord, would you give us hearts to receive who we are in Christ, and would you help us to not just intellectually believe these truths, Lord, but to embrace them and walk in them by your grace and your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you have seen this locally. I've seen it locally, but I've heard it's a national trend, is that many people are choosing not to have children and instead having pets that kind of take the place. And they treat these pets like they're their children. I have a real close friend of mine whose son has four dogs. And they chose not to have kids because they, for whatever reason, and these dogs are like their kids. And they, no vet bill is too much. Whatever it takes, we'll do. And you see that happening. And there's this relationship with their pets that is so close, so intimate. It's unbelievable. And what we find is this, is that if you go back into Jesus' time, there were a lot of different, relationships that Jesus could have used as an example of his relationship to all believers, possibly with other animals. But for a specific reason, Jesus chose to use the relationship between a shepherd and their sheep. And there's a lot of reasons why. We don't understand it today because we don't understand shepherding as it was back then. I talked to Forrest and his kids, and they were telling me about some different things. And even then, I realized that it was different back then. The relationship between the shepherd and the sheep was far more intimate than we can even imagine. But again, it's kind of compared to what we would say today is some people who choose to have this, instead of kids having this relationship with an animal. Take a look at God's word. What we find is this, John chapter 10, 14 through 15. I am the good shepherd. I own my own, and my own know me. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That's important right there. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And then in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus is comparing his relationship to his sheep, all believers, with his relationship with the Father. How could that be? That is, you know, is such an unbelievable comparison when you think about it. What we find here is this. The way the Father loves and knows the Son, Jesus loves and knows the sheep. Intimate, perfectly. That's what he means there. There's this connection that just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And then the other side of that is that we see that like the Son loves and obeys the Father, the sheep love, and obey their good shepherd. So we see this parallel here. It's so intimate. It's so deep. Obviously, it's not to the depth that the Father and the Son know each other. But Jesus is bringing a comparison here. I'm not. And he's saying this relationship that I have with my sheep is so intimate, so deep, so perfect that I can compare it with my relationship with the Father as he knows and loves me. It's really quite incredible to understand the depth of the love of the shepherd for the sheep. As a matter of fact, his desire that we find in this section of Scripture is that his sheep would find abundant life in and through him. That's what he says, my sheep, I came that they might have life and life more abundantly. And then he starts talking about his relationship to the Father and the intimacy. And somehow this abundant life is all tied in to this relationship. And abundant life is life is found in and through Jesus. In other words, abundant life begins and ends with Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Now, sheep is the favorite term of Jesus when he's referring to Christians, referring to believers. He chooses that term because of this relationship. And part of it, though, is because we're so much like sheep. If you want just a great time, talk to Forrest about sheep. 2 weeks ago when I preached, he started telling me, he caught me in the back, and he said, you know, Dan, sheep are really dumb animals. He said, it's unbelievable. He said, there can be bad food in front of them, and then there's good food right next to it. He said, every time they'll take the bad food. He said, it's amazing. Sheep are prone to wander. You know, we sing that worship song, prone to wander, Lord. Well, that's what sheep do. They are prone to wander. They will just, they don't realize that what they have is really good, and they'll start wandering. As a matter of fact, there's reports that sheep will wander right off the edge of a cliff. And other sheep will follow them. So when one wanders, another will wander with them, and they've got the best food in front of them. Oh, maybe I'll go over here and check this out. They can't defend themselves. They're one of the most weak animals there is. They are susceptible to danger because they can't defend themselves. But it goes beyond that. If sheep stay in an area, they will eat all the grass, they will eat all the roots until there's nothing healthy left to eat. They'll eat it down to nothing, and they'll basically starve themselves. That's sheep. And if you want to do a study and learn a little bit about yourself, maybe it would be good to study what sheep are like. Say, okay, that must be the way I am, because Jesus compares it. They are one of the most helpless of all animals, sheep. They need total care and constant supervision. Part of what maybe Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Maybe we get it a little better now. So that's sheep. Do a study on sheep to find out a little bit about what Jesus was touching. But you know what? Here's where we get, I think we get off wrongly. Is that we think the focus here and Jesus' focus was supposed to be on the sheep and their stupidity, ignorance, inabilities. All those things are true. But the emphasis throughout Scripture is not about the sheep and their lack, their need, but rather how these same animals who would frustrate all of us have great value. I mean, why are the thieves and the robbers coming to steal them if there's no value? You see, back then, the sheep were owned by the shepherd. A little different maybe now. That's why Jesus is talking about, you know, these are my sheep, and there's a tie in here, which means he owned them. They were his sheep. He owned them. In other words, the sheep were his IRAs. They were his income. They were who he was. And so what happens is the focus here is that these sheep, have great value, and this, that they were very, very precious to the shepherd. The focus isn't about the sheep as much as it is the shepherd. What we find is that there's great value. Take a look at God's word. John 10, 3b. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see the value there? He lays down his life. And he talks about the hireling, and the hireling will run when there's trouble, but not me, because I'm the good shepherd. They're my sheep. And we can see all the way back that there's predestination, because it's talking about, if you go farther in this chapter, that they are the Father's and he gave them to me. And the names are there before all these things. So what we see is this picture of this intimacy, that this shepherd knew every sheep personally. That's why they gave it a name. You know, I had a friend of mine who had a dog. You know what the dog's name was? D-O-G. I didn't get it. D-O-G. He didn't want to give it a name. I thought it was some kind of a, you know, something. He called it D-O-G. Okay? But we give our animals names. And they have personalities, don't they? I mean, this guy who has these four dogs, each one is different. And he knows the details between each animal. He knows them. Ah, that one's kind of stubborn, and that one there is an attention hog, and this one over here just kind of follows everyone. But here's the alpha dog. And each animal, now when we compare it to dogs today in particular, we see that they all had their own uniqueness. Even if they're the same breed, you can have somebody with the three same breeds from the same litter, and they're all different. And the owner knows them. All their little intricacies, all the little change differences between this one and that one. And that's the picture that we have here, that the shepherd knows each sheep. He knows them by name. He knows them from top to bottom, from front to back. He knows everything about them. And they get personal care. What the shepherd would do is that, we talked about this last time, is that at night when they would come into the sheepfold, you know, that place where they gathered with numerous flocks, what the shepherd would do back then is, as each of his sheep would come past him, he'd personally examine everyone to see how they were doing. Was there any injury? Were they sick? Anything about them different? So he would take that time every night to examine every one of the sheep that were in his flock. And then what he would do is, if he would find one that was wounded or weak, hurt in any way, what did that particular sheep get from the shepherd? Even more personal care. Pull it aside and take care of it and bind up its wounds. Figure out, what can I do to help this sheep to be healthy, to grow? That's a picture of the good shepherd towards you if you're a believer today. The picture of his personal care, how much he delights in you, knows you, how precious you are to him. And the good shepherd knows your hurts. He knows. You know, we know this stuff intellectually, but maybe if we put it in the picture of the shepherd and the sheep, we'll believe it a little more. You know what I mean? Instead, it won't be just in our heads. Well, I know that, Dan. But what it does is it'll move into our hearts. And go, oh, yeah. And so the shepherd, he knows your hurts. He knows your fears. He sees your pain. He's not ignoring it. He sees the trials that you're facing, the hard things. He knows your failures and He knows your sin. And see, in our flesh, what the enemy does is he comes in and he says, the shepherd's going to reject you because you're hurt, you're wounded, you're struggling. And that's completely opposite of what we see in this picture of the good shepherd and the sheep. Because those that are wounded, those that are struggling, get that special care from the shepherd. And that's us. You know, when times are hard and you feel like God's not there, where is He? Those are the times He's closest. And He's drawing you in and He's wanting to minister to you and heal the hurt in your heart and the struggles in your life. Because He's a good shepherd and He does that for His sheep. And so what we find is this. Though the world says, well, you're not living a very Christian life, or you're sure struggling with this or whatever, we would think naturally that the enemy would whisper and say, you know, God has abandoned you, or God will reject you. Because we're basing it on our performance rather than on Jesus and His grace and His mercy. And that's what we find in Scripture, is this. That instead of rejecting us or abandoning us, instead what the good shepherd does is he pours out grace and mercy. And if you have your Bible open, one of the things I want you to do is you're going to be in John chapter 10 and go to Psalm 23. Because Psalm 23 is almost a commentary on John chapter 10. It's incredible. It kind of fleshes out a little bit if we take a look at this. Take a look. Psalm 23. Verse 6a, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That is true about you if you know Jesus as your good shepherd. That's true. Goodness and mercy, does that sound like abandonment and rejection? Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, based on Christ, not your performance. We see this just a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Good Shepherd. And we have to understand this. The Good Shepherd is relentlessly vigilant over you. Relentlessly vigilant. He is constantly attentive. Constantly attentive. And He is patiently loving you. Patiently loving you. You know why? Because He knows sheep. You know what sheep act like? Sheep. And they do dumb things. And they wander off. And they eat the bad food instead of the good food. That's our shepherd. He sees that. And He's patient with us because, well, they're sheep. Of course they do that stuff. But He doesn't just let them do it. Because that would be dangerous for them, unhealthy for them. So the shepherd, your good shepherd, understands the situation you're in. And He is patient with you because He understands you're a sheep. And sheep act like sheep. And that's why they desperately need a shepherd. That's why you desperately need a shepherd. Because of who we are in our flesh. So He's patient. He's patient with us. And I want you to know this. Receive this deep in your heart. That the Good Shepherd knows you completely. Completely. Everything. Those thoughts. Those actions that are hidden from everyone else. He knows you completely. Yet He loves you perfectly. He loves you perfectly. Some of you need to hear that and receive that. He loves you perfectly. And He desires fellowship with you. He's not rejecting you. When you're wounded is the time that He draws close, wants to bind up those wounds. And this good shepherd desires that you would experience abundant life in and through him. That's his desire. That you would experience abundant life in and through him. I tried to look at this and lay this down, and I tried to find a couple of things, just two things, in ways that we could experience the abundant life. How can we do that? What kind of pictures maybe do we see in Psalm 23 that give us a hint of how can we walk maybe in this abundant life in practical ways? I found two. The first one is this: we can experience abundant life by being content with what the Good Shepherd has provided for us. Take a look at God's Word. Now, when you read this psalm, don't you just, you know, you read it and you kind of go like this. Just reading it makes you calm, doesn't it? It just, yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's a contented person. They're relaxing. For A, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. John 10:28, I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You just see in these first verses not to be in want. You know, sheep are hard to get to rest. That's what I heard. Read this. They're really hard. They have to have almost the perfect conditions. They have to be not worried about anything. They have to be fed. They have to be, so they're not hungry. They have to have no fear. So sheep are very fickle. In order to get them to rest, everything has to be just lined up. And that's what you see in this picture in Psalm 23. I shall not be in want. Need nothing. Nothing. Makes me lie down. There's a resting there. A peace there. And it goes on. He leads me beside still waters. Abundance. And I will fear no evil. At rest, meaning physical needs are met. No worries. This is a picture of the contented life. That's what it is. There's no worries. Why? Because we have favor with God. Because of the Good Shepherd's selfless, sacrificial death. We're made right with God. So he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Remember 2 weeks ago when I said the door, Jesus said, I am the door. Okay, that was the way to become a part of the flock. So he is the door and the shepherd. Well, the door is the reason why we have this peace in our heart, that there's no worries, that we lay down and we rest. Because we're right with God. Because we were separated from God. And there was nothing we could do. We were in rebellion to him. And God in his goodness and his kindness and his mercy and his grace, Jesus came and lived that perfect life for us. Met the requirements that the Father had to spend eternity with him. No sin, perfection. And Jesus did it for us. It's not about our performance, but his for us. And then he goes and he dies on the cross, and the penalty of our sin was poured out upon him instead of us. And you see, that's why we have no worries. That's why we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and have no fear. Because we're not afraid. Death, where is thy sting? There's no worries. There's this peace that happens. That's where it starts. That's the foundation of this contentment. That I'm right with the living God because of what Christ has done for me. I've received that gift of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. And so I have this peace in my heart that no matter what comes, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can steal my salvation. It is sure. That's why Jesus said you can't even snatch. Nobody will snatch them out of my hands. Nobody's going to do that because of who Christ is. This beautiful picture. There's no worries. We are saved forever from every enemy that would come to kill or destroy us. Right there is the foundation of this contentment. That I have no worries. I'm made right with the living God. What else can come to me? Nothing can steal me from my Father's hand. I am secure in Christ. Let me say this. You may struggle with fear and other things, but you know you'll be, I'll say this, we'll probably be more happy in heaven, but you can't be more secure there than you are now because you have been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, and you're secure. You're secure. It's solid because of who Christ is for us. So there's this sense that there's no worries because we're right with the Father through the sacrifice of the Good Shepherd. And then to move into this contentment is this. It appears here that they're content because they're not lacking anything. Let me ask you, or let me say, they're content because they're convinced they will never lack anything because the Good Shepherd knows them and will provide everything for them. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because if you do and you walk in it, there'll be this contented life. You know what? I have a Good Shepherd. He loves me. He gives me everything I need for life and godliness. That's who my shepherd is. That's my Jesus. And we walk in that. And if we can walk in that and we look at what we have, all that the Good Shepherd has provided, and we're content with it. You know, that doesn't mean that we don't, you know, strive in certain things, but the striving needs to be for the right reasons, for the glory of God even. But there's this contentment in what God has given us. You know, the house he's given us? I got to have a bigger house. I got to have this. And so what happens is instead of resting and being content in what the Good Shepherd has provided, then we get all uppity and worried, and we got to have something better because this isn't good enough. Who God has given us as a spouse. Who God has given us as children. I mean, are they not their gifts? His gifts. You know, I had something this last week that happened that, boy, God showed me how much I'm not content. And maybe that's why I had anxiety and all these other things instead of resting in who I am in Christ and delighting in all the provision. Here's what happened. Okay, some of you won't get this. If you're a car guy, you will. So, oh no, another one, Dan. Yeah, here's what it is. I have my white whale. Okay, my white whale is my dream car. And then there's the dream situation. Both of them came together perfectly last week. Okay? Went online, typed in 1968. Up it came. Oh my goodness. A 1968 GTO convertible. Being sold by the guy who bought it originally in 1968. Pictures of the car. The guy was selling it, almost giving it away. And I quick called and I said, the car is sold. Had to leave it on his voicemail. Well, guess what? I was number two. Okay, so this guy texts me back. He says, if the first guy doesn't buy it, you can have it. Oh, there was no chance that guy wasn't going to buy it, right? So now I'm frustrated with God, saying, God, why did you even have to show me that? I'm throwing a little five-year-old tantrum to God. God, you know, you could have just delayed it. I could have waited until the next day to type in 1968, and then I wouldn't have seen it, and then I wouldn't see what I'm out. And God, I don't know why you did that to me. I'm really angry right now, and I'm just being honest. And it's like the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, you know what, Dan, you're not very content, are you? Go look in your garage what I've given you. 1968 GTO hardtop, that's not good enough for you? And I went, oh, forgive me, Lord. See, I wasn't content. And you know, it was driving me, these things are driving me, where the king, the good shepherd does what? He leads us. And when we're being driven by things, there's this anxiety and this tension and all these things that build up. And yet if I want to really live the abundant life, I need to learn to be content in all the provision that the good shepherd has given me. You know what? There are others who have more. There are others who have less. But in his incredible wisdom, he knows what's best for me. And he, as my good shepherd, will provide everything I need. And I had to preach those things to myself. Do you believe, Dan, that if I wanted you to have that car, you could have called an hour earlier or whatever? Yeah. So why didn't I give it to you? Because you know I don't need it. So I had to preach those things to myself. Be content, Dan. Be content in all that I provide for you. Whether it is great or whether it is small. Whether it is a situation without struggle or with struggle. Whether it's physical pain or not. Would you trust me, Dan? Be content. Trust me. Trust me in all things. I will provide for you, Dan. So be content in the provision of the Lord. My question is, do you believe that even with disappointments and struggles? Are you content? Because if not, you're not going to live the abundant life. You're not. So one of the ways that we can practically apply this is ask God for the grace to be content in all of his provision. Not looking for where the grass is greener, but thanking him for the weeds that are in your yard. You know, my yard is 3/4 weeds. But you know what, God, I just want to thank you for all that you're doing. Be content. And you know what? Here's what happens. Well cared for sheep are content and they willingly, joyfully obey the good shepherd. If you're content, what do you feel about the good shepherd? He's faithful. He's taking care of me. So when he directs you, guides you, you joyfully obey. And that is, I think, the second practical way that we can experience the abundant life, by wholeheartedly following the good shepherd. Take a look at God's word again. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. These are well cared for sheep. They love their shepherd. He's taking care of them. And so they follow him. Psalm 23, 3 through 4. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, holiness, for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, which was used to fight off wild animals, and your staff, which is used to direct the flock, they comfort me. They comfort me. You see, without guidance, it's easy to wander. It's easy to eat unhealthy foods. You know what unhealthy foods are? Go back 2 weeks. It's the good life, pursuing the good life over the abundant life. Good things get in the way of the best. And sometimes it's just plain unhealthy. So without guidance, we wander. We put ourselves in danger. That's what sheep do. They wander into an area they shouldn't be in that area. They put themselves in danger. We do that all the time, don't we, as Christians? Well, it's not that big of a deal. I guess I'll go over here. And you know, that's why the Word of God says flee temptation. There's always an exit sign. But we as sheep, we just kind of wander and we follow others that wander. And we kind of, oh, I guess this field is better. And the shepherd's saying, that field's not good. I know, that's not the best food for you. This is the best food. So when we're looking, we as sheep need somebody to guide us, to lead us. And the good shepherd guides us to abundant life through his word and through His Spirit. He guides us through His Word. When we look at the Word of God and it says, this is the way to walk, and there's commands in there, and He tells us to do it because He knows what's best for us. He's the Good Shepherd. The world will say, this is the way to go. Be independent. Don't listen to this. You know, sex outside of marriage is fine. This is fine. And then the Word of God says, no, this is the way. Well, the Good Shepherd, do we trust in the Good Shepherd or not? Do we follow His lead or not? He's directing us. He's guiding us to the abundant life. And His Word shows us what that looks like, how we walk in it. We want to follow Jesus obediently, joyfully, wholeheartedly. Because when we do, that's the abundant life. We walk in His ways. We trust the Good Shepherd. We will follow You all the days of our lives. And He will never lead us into sin. Never. But, to get to the good pastures, He might lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Because you know what? Through trials and struggles, your faith grows stronger. You see, He sees the end, that pasture, that beauty in faith in Him growing. We becoming more like Jesus. But sometimes the path to get there is not so smooth. But do we trust the Good Shepherd with His provision and His leadership? We may be put in difficult situations, but He knows there's this beautiful pasture on top. As we walk through this with Him, He takes us to that place. That's the picture we see here. And we joyfully follow and obey wholeheartedly, even when we're fearful and we're weak and we're wounded. And the reason we do that is because we know that the Good Shepherd is always with us. He will never abandon us. And we know this too, that He always has our best in mind. He's not going to hurt us. He's not going to do that. Doesn't mean we won't go through painful things. We do. But our hope is in the Good Shepherd leading us and guiding us. And we're going to follow Him when He tells us, go. And we're put in difficult situations. We trust, you know what, there's a pastor that He's taking me to. There's something He wants in my life that is so sweet and so good. And this is a hard place to get through it. But He is with me, thy rod and thy staff. And even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, sickness, struggles, darkness, children walking away from Jesus, friends walking away from Jesus, whatever it might be, I'm not alone. The Good Shepherd is there. He is with me. And He has a purpose in this. And it's hard, but on the other side is a field that He's taking me to. That's our Good Shepherd. So brothers and sisters, we experience abundant life by being content with the Good Shepherd's provision and joyfully and obediently following wholeheartedly where He leads. That's the abundant life. Take a look at God's Word. John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's His desire for you as His sheep. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You're secure. In Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Look at this. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, ultimately the abundant life begins and ends in Christ. There are three terms in the New Testament that describe Jesus as a shepherd. Go do a study on that. It's sweet. Here He's the Good Shepherd. Later in the Word of God, He is the Great Shepherd. And finally in the book of Revelations, He's the Chief Shepherd. Sweet little study. Can't get into it right here. But do you know what that word good means here? He's the Good Shepherd. The definition of that is this: to be magnificent, lovely, to be excellent in all aspects. Isn't that our good shepherd? Isn't that the good shepherd, Jesus? That's why when he leads you, he will always lead you to himself. When I counsel, I lead people to Jesus. When he leads you, he will always lead you to himself. Because he is more than enough. He is your portion, is what Scripture calls it. He is more than enough for you now and for all eternity. He will lead you to himself. He is your provision for salvation and everything for life and godliness. It begins and ends with Jesus. That's the abundant life. And by God's grace, may we pursue it for his glory and our good. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we stand in awe of you. We see a picture of who you are today. Who we are, Lord, in all our brokenness and all our sheepness, God. And yet you're patient, you're kind, you're good. So Lord, today, sink these truths deep in our hearts, beyond our heads. The truths that we've already known, Lord, give us a new, fresh revelation of who you are for us and in us. Lord, we pray that you would overwhelm us with your grace and your mercy. We pray these things in the beautiful and glorious and great name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue.